this young lady was about to get married, and she said to her mother, "You've been married for 40 years. Give me your best advice. What's the best thing you can tell me?" Her mother said, "If you don't want to do it, don't start." She got upset with her mother. I mean, she said, "Mom, is that the best advice you've got? If I don't want to do it, don't start it." She said, "Ever since then, every time I pull the cord on that lawnmower, I think about that." Good advice. Good advice for preaching. If you don't want to do the work that the elders are supposed to be doing, don't do it. Don't start. If you don't want to do the work the deacons are supposed to be doing, don't start it. You do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of your ministry. Somebody's watching you. This is a form that our preachers are given. It's private. They fill it out in private. It's for their own use. It's a heart probe. It says, "If I were to receive in tomorrow's mail an opportunity to take a job that would pay me $300 a day, would I postpone my preparation for ministry to make the money? Am I willing to lose personal possessions that one soul could be saved? Would I be willing to sell my car in order to buy groceries so I could stay in school?" A lot more on that list. But I would encourage you just what Paul said to Timothy. Make full proof of your ministry.
We need to remember as preachers that we are not perfect. We strive for perfection. We will make mistakes. Sometimes they'll be large. Two things about that. Be thankful yourself that you serve a God of second chances. And remember that when you work with people, that they also serve a God of second chances. I think in the Bible about mankind in general first. If it weren't for the God of second chances, Adam and Eve would have been killed that day in the garden. Because God's justice demanded that. I think about Abraham and all the mistakes he made along the way. To be called the father of the faithful one day, but God had to bring him along. I think about David and mistakes he made, and yet God would say in inspiration after the fact, he was a man after my own heart. Think about Jonah, given a task to do, and he went exactly the opposite. And yet, God spit him out of the whale and said, "Now go do what I told you to do." I think about Paul. And God made special efforts to send Ananias to preach the gospel because he knew what Paul could do if he could get his mind and heart right and his intelligence up as far as the knowledge of the Word of God. Think about John Mark. And I think about Peter. How long-suffering was God with Peter? How many times do you think as Peter went about his work later, he regretted how he used to be, but he was thankful to the God of second chances. And then when we work with people, sometimes where our patience is short and our long-suffering is short. And I know preachers who quit because they make mistakes, because they don't think they're good enough to keep going.
Here's something of the Holy Trinity of counsel. First of all, take care of your life's depth and trust in God to take care of your life's breadth, length, and height. You take care of your spiritual life's depth and trust in God to take care of your life's length, breadth, and height. Too many of us are far more concerned about our reputation than we are about our character. You take care of your life's depth, and God will take care of your life's breadth and length and height. You'll never regret that. Secondly, plan ahead or you'll always be behind. Plan ahead or you'll always be behind. That's the second principle in this Holy Trinity. Be thinking about sermon subjects, classes, well into the future. I cannot relate to a guy who says, I don't have anything to preach. If I were to live 100 more lifetimes, I would never have enough time to preach all the things that have already come into my mind. I'm serious. And I'm not saying that out of arrogance. I'm simply saying if you plan ahead, you will be overwhelmed by the number of subjects and thoughts and class ideas that seem to come. And we've heard not a few this week. Isn't that right? So plan ahead or you'll always be behind. And it's been brought out in a number of excellent ways. People don't ask for your permission to die. People don't ask if it's okay for them to go into the hospital with a heart attack or cancer treatments. That may not be what you've got scheduled on your calendar, your plan, your daily calendar that day. But you won't regret helping them and serving them, especially if you plan ahead, because if you don't, you'll never, never catch up. Third, have an unquestioned work ethic by remembering the investment that others have made in you. 1 Timothy 4 ought to be a chapter you look at every week. Qualities of a good servant. For this reason we toil and suffer reproach. Have an unquestioned work ethic because of the investment that others have made in you. I do what I do because I remember an investment that has been made in me over and over and over through the years by countless brethren who have loved and encouraged me and somehow seen something in me that I didn't see myself. I represent them at this very moment. And you represent people just like that. People that believed in you and encouraged you. And you remember that every day of your ministry, and it will help you to have the proper work ethic. You remember that as you think about your wife and kids. You want to have the proper work ethic, and that also involves being the type of husband and dad God wants you to be. Think about the work ethic, and you'll have an unquestioned work ethic when you remember that you were bought with a price. And that Jesus Christ made the greatest investment in you of all. A Holy Trinity like that, that's counsel that lasts a lifetime and well into eternity.
Number one, I am humbled to even be given a spot just to speak to such great men. But one thing that has helped me, and I like to pass it on, I truly believe that if we're going to be great men and women of God, number one, you have to practice humility. And I've noticed that in my Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians chapter 2, y'all know the text, Jesus was an humble man. How can we as, well, his followers, his preachers, not practice humility and follow Jesus? Number one, we need to be humble. Number two, I noticed even in my own spiritual life, Proverbs 4 and verse 23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Hedge it in. Watch what goes into your heart. Because what comes out, what goes into your heart, that's Mark 7, 23, and following, will come out of your heart. So it's another thing that I've learned that I want to pass by, because we are inundated every day with those things that are not good for our hearts. And we need to make sure that we guard our hearts. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse number 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. We need to watch our lives. I'm really appreciative about what Brother Vessel said. So many people depending on us. The truth be told, that's what keeps me faithful sometimes. I don't want to let, number one, my God down.
I don't want to let others down as well. So we have to have that attitude. Why? Because we want to save ourselves and they that hear us. Can't forget that part. And lastly, and I hang my hat on these, I always tell myself this. Romans 8 and verse number 31, 1 John 4 and verse number 4, God before us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Brethren, we work for the Lord. Don't work for the brotherhood. We work for the Lord. And we're privileged to preach and serve the brotherhood. Be God's man. Be God's woman. I guarantee you, your life will be great.
Some of you heard me say this before, and I said last year, and if you keep coming back, you will probably hear at the close of every year. Sometimes it'll be with more tears than others. It really depends on how much sleep that I've gotten in the last few nights, how emotional I am. I mentioned this meeting last week, a couple weeks ago, in San Angelo, sitting in a annex building of the Jacksonville Church of Christ in Jacksonville, Alabama, the close of polishing the pulpit several years ago now. Linda Winkler stood, actually sat at that time, gave about a 15-minute pep talk to us as we left. The words he said actually were the words that I wanted to use to title this program. It just didn't look right on paper. The advertisement wouldn't have been right. So it wouldn't have felt normal. But he said, "You remember, guys, when you preach, you walk with the giants." Men like Keith Mosier, Mike Vesta, David Jones, Joe Bannon, Norman Starling, Chris Butler, Gage Corner, Mike Bottom, Trent Kennedy, and so many others, men like the Apostle Paul, and Peter, Alexander Campbell, and Gus Nichols, and Roy Hull, and Curtis Gates. That's our commission. That's our life. We're privileged to walk with the giants. Not in our shadows, not underneath them, but hand in hand for the cause of Christ. We stand, let us bow in prayer together. Our God, throne in heaven, we give thee the praise and the glory and the honor of this day and of this event. Give for us doors of opportunity, hearts of service, to be useful in the ministry, to be effective in the lives of those around us, to save those that are perishing, to honor Christ in our actions, to reverence thee in our words, and to ever have the cross before us. In Jesus' name, amen.